Let's start from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's start from John chapter 8. We're also going to that 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is not part of our last series. Just want to wrap up many things we have been saying and bring some relevance to them all together. Now, read from verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him. And what did he say to them? He said, if you continue my word, then are you truly my disciples? That is, truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Of course, let me just complete that section, and then where I want to just have verse 32. He said, then they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, I have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? And I said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, anyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. And all that he went ahead and explained some things. But like I said to you, my emphasis is in that verse 32, which is something that we know very well. He said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, please bear that in mind. Okay, now go back to that 2 Timothy chapter 3 that we read, I referred to. Let's just quickly read it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, I need just about one verse here, but because that area is very rich, I'll probably read a few more beyond the one that I need. Now, he said from verse 14, you, however, that is, let's just start from verse, okay, let me back up a bit. From verse 10, he said, now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such has happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra. He said, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Let me read that verse 12 again. He said, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, basically because they will not be persecuted. They will have a free reign, deceiving and being deceived. Now, despite the persecution, despite the fact that the evil people will have a free reign and they will grow from bad to worse, despite all the challenges you may have, he said, you, however, anytime you see the word however, he's trying to bring out an issue. He said, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings or the holy scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He said, these scriptures, this is the way they are, verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate. Now, please notice this. That the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Now, I'm trying to bring out some things together here. I have one thing actually in my mind that I'm trying to pass across to Christians, especially based on the many things that we have said over the years. The first scripture we read is from that portion in which the Lord Jesus told us, that one we all know very well. Say, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I was not saying that we have discussed many things. Yes, there's one thing I just want to pass across, especially in the light of the things that we have discussed over the last, of course, many times I've been preaching here, talking about the work of Christ's deliverance that is in Christ Jesus. I want to emphasize something, and that's the fact that there's a level of truth. I talked about truth and life some time ago. I think I brought a bit of that out, but I want to bring an issue about it again today. Now, truth is not just about what that is. When we talk about the knowledge of truth, it's beyond the matter of I've heard it before. You know, actually, something happened some time ago. I can't remember what exactly, but it made me think about what really this knowledge of truth is. And let me quickly say it like this. You read my book, Choices, Key to Destiny. And I explain something, that the choices you make in life, they are actually the things that determine what your life will be. Please follow me very closely. And I said something last Saturday, that whatever you are doing in life, at that particular point in time, God is using that to qualify you for the next level. It was on Tuesday that I said it. That God is using that to qualify you for the next level. You may be in a place you are working. You may be in school, you are learning. You may be maybe serving somewhere. Whatever it is that you are doing, it is not how you plotted your life that's deciding what your life will be. No, it is how God plotted it. That's just the way it is. And when God puts it in a place, it is from that place is deciding whether you will get into the next place that he planned for your life. Let me say this to you again. God actually arranges the life of the believer. You know, there was something that Jesus Christ said the other time. I was thinking about it the other time, and then I was praying this morning. Sometimes things come to my mind. I just turn them to a prayer, all right? And, okay, let me just tell you what made me pray. Two of my little children said they went to go out to go and buy a recharge card. So after a while, my wife was very reluctant to let them go. But then, as I leave them, I mean, they cannot keep on staying in the house. At their age, we were walking along the road, go and buy a recharge card, all right? Then after a while, I heard them shouting, and the dog was barking. So, of course, I ran downstairs to go and check what was going on. The summary of it was that where they went to buy a recharge card, maybe because they opened the gate for them or something, I don't know, a dog came out of the house and ran away. So then they were now pursuing the dog. And then the dog to come back. Of course, a parent's instinct is to think that the dog is pursuing them. You understand? But the dog that was barking actually was not that particular dog. But that made me think again that, okay, what if it was a big dog? And these are two children, 1 7, 1 8. All right? What would they do against a big dog? No, it was just going through my mind. I was thinking about it. And the scripture came to my mind that Jesus said they have an angel, each one of them. I don't know whether you got that. That scripture came to my mind that each one has an angel. Don't worry about it. That thing just came to my mind. And this is not a joke. The angel actually ensures that that wicked dog cannot pursue them. That's the reality. So because I was just thinking, you know, as a parent or as an adult, many things cross your mind. So that just dawned on me that, oh, in that case, their lives are not accidents anyway. I don't know what I get my point. I'm not saying they should live carelessly. But this one in which you now say, don't go anywhere again, lest the dog pursues you. Wait. If you have to go out, all right, if it is reasonable to go out, it's part of your training, you are growing, then I shouldn't be too worried. Because, in fact, I shouldn't be worried. I would draw the word too, all right? I shouldn't be worried because the Bible makes it clear that each one has an angel. That is, those, the two of them going, I'm sure there are two angels at least able to tackle any dog. You get my point? I mean, I remember when I was a child, this is just off, I don't know whether that's part of a message or not, but something happened to me when I was a little child. I went to go and visit me and my two younger ones, and we're all very small. I mean, we were really small. I don't think I was up to 10, no. I don't think I was up to 10. Just went down the street to go to my friend's house, and we got there. I had two younger sisters with me. I was not up to 10. Got to the house. The house was locked, but they had dogs in front of the house. So I went to go past the dogs and go and knock anyway. I didn't see any person, no adult, nothing. After a while, you know, you are crying, so the dogs are looking at us. Like, what are these people looking for? And there were two or three of them. After I started growling. At that point, I decided it was not wise. But the dog didn't understand anything beyond that. He said, this guy is an intruder. And he came after us. That is, was rushing. Now, one of my sisters went one direction. Now, I'm going somewhere. As young as I was, my fear was for my younger ones. I wasn't up to 10. There's a reason why I know I was not up to 10. There's a reason why I know. So what I did was that I just looked out for the two of them. I saw only one run. And the dogs went after that one. You know the way dogs behave. So they went after that one. So I ran after her. I managed to get to her before the dogs, stood in front of her. I happened to have a metal rod in my hand. I stood there, I couldn't run anymore. I raised the rod, say, come near. That was the first time in my life I saw any dog's heartbreak. They held the brake, they screeched, you know that kind of thing. Screeched, turned around and disappeared. Now, I just remember the story because I don't think it was human wisdom. I believe it was the angel of God that, you know, operated that deliverance. But the way it manifested, I told you before about what I call the simplicity of divine intervention. Things that look simple, they're actually orchestrated by angels. They're actually the power of God happening in your life. You think they're just simple and everyday things. Now, why I went into all of that, maybe to bless somebody, but the point is that I wanted you to know that your lives and your life, individual now, your life as a Christian is not an accident. Where you are today, where you are going tomorrow, is being planned. God actually sends angels out, listen to this, to go and arrange things for you. What you need as a believer is to cooperate. And this is how, you don't just cooperate because it's not human, let me put it like that, to cooperate. It's an effort to make, not in whispering to angels or knowing about our destinies directly. It is simply by learning the word of God, which Paul was writing to Timothy here. He said is profitable for teaching, for correction, for reproof, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, is adequate, equipped for every good work. That is, essentially, King James will tell you, made ready. That is, the good work is not there, he's just ready for it. But how do we learn to cooperate, I was saying? It's simply because of training in the word of God. Please follow that. Very, very important. A Christian's life is planned. God determines where you will get to. Later on, we'll begin to look at the life of Joseph. And I was thinking about, you know, some time ago, I said, we'll start studying the lives of these great men of God. Let us pick the lessons from their lives that God wants us to learn. And the other day, I was just listening to the story of Joseph again. And a number of points just struck me again. I realized simply that Joseph, many bad things happened in his life. Like he went to go and see your brothers. They decided to beat you and throw you into a pit. They were not trying to throw him into a pit. They wanted to kill him. It was Reuben that felt, he told them that having blood on your hands wouldn't be nice. So let him die in the pit. So they threw him in there hoping that the snake would bite him. Or worst case, he would starve to death. He was hoping to come and remove him and go and return him to his father. By the time he came out, now listen to this, the plan of deliverance that Reuben had did not work. So they sold him to Egypt. You know the rest of the story. Now, but the Bible says clearly that God sent him ahead of them. Now, he's being sold into slavery into Egypt was a bad thing. But the interesting thing is that it was divinely orchestrated. Some angels arrived one day and said, today we have been asked to escort Joseph to Egypt. How will he get to Egypt? We'll discuss those things later. All right? I mean, those guys thought they were bad. They were doing their own desires. They were not. Their own character was in operation. Each man is judged according to his intentions, not according to the result of his work. It is according to what he had in his heart. So they were bad people. We don't have any doubt about that. But in the midst of their badness, Joseph was being carried by angels to Egypt. You know what happened to him in the house of Potiphar? Now let me say this to you. I said that I've taught it before. That it took, why didn't God send him a day ahead before they would follow him? Because it wouldn't work. What I mean by wouldn't work? The boy had to be trained to be a prime minister. He had to be trained to take care of his father and the whole extended family. You're not on the trying to explain that. All their children, each one of those sons of Jacob, they were a community in themselves. If you read the story very well, they were big enough to raise small armies individually. The point I'm just bringing from it is that every step of his life was arranged by angels. Not just anybody would buy him as a slave. It had to be Potiphar. Potiphar had to see him. An angel persuaded him that this boy would be good. And after a while, he realized the boy was good. When the time was up, they arranged it again, threw him into prison. The most interesting part, we'll discuss it later, is the fact that the man he helped forgot him. Despite his negotiations, what God was saying simply is that you will not get out of here a day earlier than I proposed. That's when I realized the ability to remember is a gift of God. One angel stretched his hand into the man's head, collected the memory of Joseph, put it in his pocket, and said, you will need that later. not now. That man was not a bad man. All that happened was that God said, right now, you will not remember Joseph. At the appropriate time, when it was now time to bring Joseph out, the angel took the thing from where he kept it, opened the man's head again, threw it back inside and covered. The man said, ah! Suddenly, sir, my Lord, I remember something. He said, may God have mercy on me. How could I have forgotten this young boy? What happened? They told the story. He remembered him at the appropriate time. Please, I hope you have known what I'm saying. As I started by saying this, I was going to explain something. That every part of your life as a Christian, God has sent his angels out to go and arrange them. The simple thing is, are you going to cooperate? How do we cooperate? It is simple. God teaches us to do righteously. You know, I thought about it. When Joshua, all right, was going to fight Jericho, God also sent angels to go and help him fight Jericho. And those angels are interesting people. They don't have emotions. I'm not saying they don't have at all. But when they are dealing, they don't care. You can be dying like this, it doesn't make them cry. They do what they are supposed to do. What I mean is that Joshua met that fellow. That fellow was not on the side of Israel, on the side of anybody. He's just a warrior. So Joshua asked him simply, are you on our side or on the other people's side or against us? You know what he said? None. None. I mean, I'm not on anybody's side. If you guys annoy me, I turn against you. I don't know that you're going to explain. There's no emotional attachment. But they've been sent to war. I'm bringing an issue. This is the reason why I mentioned that. It is now Joshua's problem to decide whether he will cooperate with that angel or not. That's the point I'm making. That's why the angel said, I'm not on anybody's side. I'm the captain of the host of the Lord. If you join our group, if you do, and this is how you join our group, do exactly how you have been commanded. When that word came concerning how to march around Jericho, that word came because the angels were only going to respond to that kind of operation. If you don't match like that, the angels won't work with you. They don't hate Jericho. They don't love you. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. They obey the voice of his word. It is your duty to cooperate with them. It is your duty. I like one thing. Was it T.D. Jakes that said it? That when God sent Abraham to go and sacrifice Isaac, he had better go to the correct mountain. That you had better go to the correct mountain. That's where the ram is. Because the angel of the Lord spoke to him, don't harm that boy. That was where the angel of the Lord was waiting. If they say, go to this mountain, he said that it's too far. I'm going to this other one. You will kill Isaac for nothing. There will be no ram, and there will be no angelic intervention waiting. That is, the angels depend on your obedience. And that is why, now please follow me. That is why Paul said it like this to Timothy. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Now, let me just add my own words to it. So that the man of God may be ready to cooperate with the angels of God. That is, what they operate by is whether you are in agreement with the will of God or you are not. Nothing personal. They are not there to come and ensure that you fit into the will of God. That's your personal problem. They are there to ensure that you fit into the plan of God. There's a difference. There's a difference. All right? There's a difference. They are there to ensure you fit into the plan of God if your heart is united with the will of God. You know, there's a difference in these two things. Now, the plan of God being that outward walking, the step-by-step things that God had planned for your life. The will of God is a spiritual thing. Whether you really have committed your life totally to God, whether your mindset is united with God's mind. That's what I mean by, you know, the will of God. But the step-by-step plan of God, they are there arranging it. They arrange finances. Did you hear what I said? They arrange wives, though. I'm telling you the truth. They will tell that girl, you can't travel today. Somebody is coming to meet you. Like I always say, my wife was there, and I said, listen, the truth is that an angel told her one day, go and greet that man of God. So she didn't want to agree to go and greet her. Why should I go and talk to him? He said, the angel just spoke one tongue. He said, can you decode that? He said, no, I can't. Then go and ask him. He knows the decode, you know. So and how did that manifest? She had a question she wanted to ask. So I've been telling her for the last 13 years that an angel, 14 years now, because we met before we got married, all right? I said, an angel introduced you to me. I saw him, in quotes. Not physically. I hope you get that it was a joke. I didn't see anything. No, you know, if you don't clarify it now, some people will now come and say, I met the lady, but I asked her, where's the angel that brought you? She did not. Now, but the truth is, I've been telling my mother for a very long time, I've said, an angel took her and said, come, go and talk to that man. And then, after she finished speaking, another one whispered and said, well, so what do you think? Arise, kill and eat. You are getting my point? Yes, they arrange things. They arrange jobs. Listen, as a Christian, you see, you see what I'm saying in a moment. These are the mindsets we must have. They arrange contracts. You're a businessman. Yes, they do. They'll tell a man, you can't do this job. God said we should give it to the other fellow. He's coming. Try, you know, those guys are not nice. I've told you before. Try what you can. All right? If they put their foot down that this man is not getting this job, is that man that's getting it, there's nothing you want to do. They only operate by the commandment of God. And once the word of God has gone forth, you can't turn it around. Understand that? These are mindsets we must have as Christians. Your life is planned. It's planned. It's planned. What you need to do, which one I'm talking about the first scripture I read was about truth. All right? That was first I read about truth, that we shall know the truth, and the truth, all right, will set us free. That was the first one I read. Because, you see, we must know these things, because if you know them, the way you approach life is different. You will understand now that they say, hey, don't apply for a job in that place. Nobody will give it to you. Who do you know? You won't say that after today. Because you now know that angels go in there, they arrange what is yours. So tell the person simply, it's only if it's not mine, that's when I won't get it. If it's mine, I will get it. If it is mine, I will get it. Let me say the truth. Listen, if it requires the replacement of the chief executive of a state, if it requires it, they can arrange it. It's simple. That can be arranged. They said, this cannot be done unless the governor agrees. They said, is this governor going to agree? From heaven they hear, no. Say, Lord, so what do you say? They change the governor. That's it. They just move. 2 weeks later, one governor is being investigated for something. At the end of the day, they impeach him, put a new guy in there. You want to stay here, better agree. And that one doesn't know what's going on. They do such things. They change ministers. They change laws. Why? Because they are the, I don't know whether I can use the word physical, but they are the power of God walking on the earth. That's their job. They hearken to the voice of his word. The Bible said they are mighty in strength. You know, I told this story once. I heard from Tunde Bakari. He went to church. The pastor was asking for money to do something. He said he got tired of every time. So he said, look, he went and met the pastor. That's Pastor E. Adeboye, all right? Then, of course, this was many, many years ago. The story is more than 20-something years ago. And so he went to the man and said, sir, pray for me that God will bless me. And you will never have to make this kind of announcement again. So the man prayed for him. The following week, they sacked him from where he was working. And he said simply, I just want to summarize the story. The man of God said to him simply that the kind of money you are asking God for, they don't pay such things as salaries. It was a lawyer, young lawyer. So he told him simply, why don't you go and start your own business, that is your own chambers? And he told the man of God that you don't seem to understand. In the country, there was a law that time that did not allow people of his experience, all right, own their own chambers. I forgot what the man said, that look, that's all I have to tell you, you can go. The following week or so, he was watching TV. and he heard the Supreme Military Council, or AFRC, whichever one was in power at that time, announced that that law had been abrogated. That's what they used to use those days. It was a decree. They took the decree and scrapped the decree. The first job he got, they paid him the equivalent of 2 years' salary from where he was working before. I am convinced, I am persuaded, that they went to the Supreme Military Council meeting, the angels, and said, the Lord wants to bless somebody. The Lord wants to prosper somebody. This law is not in keeping with the prosperity that God wants to pour into that fellow's life. So you guys remove it. And when they are operating, you don't know. But I read Frank Peretti. I like Frank Peretti. This present darkness and piercing this the darkness. When you read those two books, I like them because you see how angels... Well, now, it's really real. There was one interesting part of it I really enjoyed. He didn't want somebody to move, so he sank his sword into the engine. That fellow tried the car. The car would not start. I read the story of one woman. Hey, I can't remember the whole story now. All right? The woman, I think she was broke or something. She had to drive in the U.S. a very long distance. Suddenly, you know, she was crying and praying to God in her car. Then the car stopped in a particular place. She tried to start, it didn't start. Then one man just came out, hey, what is going on? All right? Oh, she didn't have enough fuel and none of that. So the man filled the tank, took her into the shop nearby, bought her a lot of things to help her, and I think her two children inside the vehicle. Afterwards, she turned around to greet the man had gone. And he said she just knew what would happen. She tried, she knew, she was so sure what would happen. She tried the engine, the car went off one hand. A car that they virtually had to push to that particular place. That's what, in fact, the story was about that you should send your story if you have met an angel. He said that day she met an angel. Listen, I don't know why I'm talking about angels now, but I want you to know that your life is planned. Amen. And the message today, it was another message, but it has changed now, you see. It's not my fault. I'm a minister of God, amen? The point I was making now is that we must learn to cooperate. And we don't learn to cooperate by coming and say, hey, this morning I'm going to cooperate. Any angel there? Who knock? Nobody knocks. Okay, an angel has entered. So what plans do you guys have? Where should I go? Should I say yes? You know that? No, it is simply by learning the truth. Are you getting my point? And cultivating a life of obedience to the truth. I said something earlier. They are dispassionate about the things they are doing. Let me put it like this. It doesn't concern them. Those guys will go, they will be around Jericho, circle Jericho, be waiting to push the walls of Jericho down. But if Joshua, all right, did not do what he was told, if he did not lead the armies of Israel around Jericho every day for 7 days, on the seventh day, seven times, and raise his voice in shouting, those angels would have done nothing. So when that fellow asked him, who side are you on? That when Joshua asked him, he said, I'm not anybody's side. If you obey God, I'm on your side. If you obey God, I'm on your side. They've given you, I'm adding words now. They've given you instructions on what to do. Make sure you do exactly as you have been told. If you do that, you will fall in line with what we are doing in the realm of the spirit. When both of us agree, that force, like I talk about resonance, everything will come together and the walls will go down. But if you think we're just going to go around, sing the walls for you, and then you now get up and say, ah, Joshua, see you, no wall again. No. Guys, everybody, get ready, let's go and fight. Say it won't work. That is, how will the activities of those angels benefit Israel at that time? It's simple. Joshua, do exactly as you are told. Let me say it again. I said it somewhere. Life is planned. Where you will be next, God is determining it now. He placed you in a place and is getting you ready for where you will be next. The interesting part is this. Most of the times, you have no idea. In real Christianity, you have no idea. You think you know. It's good for you to plan. After you service, I'm going to do like this. After my MSc is what I plan to do. It's good. You know, it's good to have. The Bible says that it keeps you occupied. God likes people being occupied. right? He keeps you occupied with gladness in your heart. God does that. He doesn't want you to be idle, just moving around and say, well, what's happening? I don't know. I just don't know. What's happening? No. Make your plans. Amen? Amen. Keep busy. Make sure the plans are not too long. Just have, you know, what I call daily plans. Daily doesn't mean 24 hours. Now, each season of your life, is a day. Each season of your life is a day. What did I say? Is a day. That is, for example, now, if you enter into a high institution, now you're going to be there for 4 years. That's a day. The 4 years is one day. The 4 years is one day. It's not 2 days. It's not 365 days multiplied by four. It's one day. Are you getting my point? You go for youth service, that's one day. That is, each season is taken as one day. Normally, it starts at the low moment, usually the evening and then the morning. As it's becoming brightest, it suddenly comes to an end. No, that's the way it works. You know, you are doing ministry, everything is going deep. When the thing is suddenly so beautiful, man, I like this ministry. God says, okay, good. Now let's go to the next phase. It's always an evening, a morning, then one day. Each season of your life is one day. The time you enjoy the school the most, you have to graduate. When you come as a year one student, you are looking lost. When you are settled, you know everywhere, you know everybody, you have been SUG president, time to graduate. That's the way it works, all right? So each season of your life is a day. Each day of your life must be occupied. You must occupy it fully. It must be filled completely. Each season of your life is one day. So it's good to make your plans. It's good to enjoy it, all right? What I'm trying to explain to you is this. The next day is determined by God. You can make plans of what you want to do after now, but believe me, most of the times, it doesn't go that way. And one of the things you must learn as a Christian in life is to understand when you are being steered by God in another direction. Very important. Don't follow the way everybody has arranged it. You studied accounting, so you go, you finish school, you become a chartered accountant, and then you go and queue up for a job. And then after that, they'll promote you. Maybe one day you now become, what do they become after you've been an accountant for a very long time? Anyway, accountant general, whatever it is. Sometimes it doesn't work like that for you. Are you getting my point? Yes, sometimes it doesn't work like that. God steers you in another direction. And I think it's very important for Christians to recognize when the angels of God are planning things differently from what you used to think. The only thing you can be sure of, all right, let me just drop that, as a believer, is you always learn to do what is right. How do I know whether this is the will of God or this is not the will of God? Check the door into both of them. What God does is that He makes sure one door is very clean, open in righteousness. The other one is not. It defies the few things that you don't want to do in your life. It defies a few things that you don't believe is the right way by which God operates. And let me get back to something I was trying to explain, all right? So please bear that in mind. Your life is planned. What you are doing is that you are cooperating with the plan that God has for you. Now, Paul says something there. Go back to that 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16, we read that all scripture is profitable, all right? It's inspired by God. And we use those things to train ourselves. So as the word of God is coming forth, what it's doing is that it's changing our hearts, it's changing our attitudes. Now, if you go back up to around verse 10, he said, now you followed my teaching. Paul was speaking to Timothy. You followed my conduct, followed my purpose, my faith, patience, love, and perseverance. At the same time, you observed my persecutions and sufferings, as happened to me in many of these places. And from all of them, the Lord delivered me. That's verse 11. He said, indeed, all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Those who do not desire to live godly lives, that's verse 13, they will not be persecuted, and they will go from bad to worse, and they will be deceiving people. He said, however, verse 14, you continue in the things you have learned and have become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now, please, let me just tell you why I read this. I said earlier that you shall know the truth, Jesus Christ said, when we read that John chapter 8, and that truth that you have known, all right, will set you free. It will make you free. Now, let me say something to you. When everybody believes something, and if it is, whether it's true or not, most of the time it's not true anyway. When everybody believes something, and you agree with them, and you are doing what they are all doing, then you will not be persecuted. That's what Paul was saying. Are you getting that point? That you will not be persecuted. The reason why Paul was persecuted, you notice something he said there. Number one, you followed, that is, you observed. You were with me. You observed my teaching. My conduct, or that's the product of my teaching. The first thing he said is my teaching. The instruction of the word of God that I was given, which was first of all in my heart. Now, because of that, my conduct was in line with that teaching. You see my purpose, my faith, all those fruits of the Spirit. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. Because of the difference in the doctrines in my heart, which affected everything else I was doing, that was what led to persecutions. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. I hope you're following what I'm saying. That is, your problems begin when you start disagreeing with everybody. Your problems begin when you start disagreeing with your parents. Your problems, what the Bible calls persecution, it begins when you start disagreeing with people around you. But your disagreement is not because you're a contentious human being, but because of a kind of teaching that you have received. Please, try and follow me. I'm trying to build up something. That the disagreements come not because you are being contentious, but because of the kind of teaching that you have received. And Paul now said to Timothy, he said, despite the persecutions, he said, you've observed it. These things produce persecutions, all right? He said, you, however, despite the fact that you'll be persecuted for that word's sake, and those who will not disagree with the common opinion, do you follow? They will not be persecuted. He said, you, however, verse 14, continue in that teaching. Continue in the things you have learned and have become convinced of. That is, even though they will beget for you tribulations. Do you understand my point? Even though your father will say, this one, I will never give my consent to that marriage. Are you getting my point? Sometimes it's where Christians miss it. This is actually where I'm going. They start negotiating. And the process of negotiation, they depart from the things they have learned and have become convinced of. Please, let me pause for a moment. Let that sink into your hearts. For example, I've had people tell me that my father said, I can marry anybody from anywhere, but if they are from this part of the country, I'm sorry. I will not come for that wedding. Now, you're under authority, amen? You can't just go and use a goju, marry, and run away from home. You can't do that. If you do that, I won't follow you. He said, Pastor Bank, you know, I agree with everything you are saying. I didn't say that one. Are you getting my point? I didn't say that one. But this is the interesting part. Some fathers are so tough, they're not going to budge. Easily, let me just put it like that. I'm not trying to scare somebody. Now, whether it's a man or a woman that's been persecuted thus, now listen to me. Now, what a lot of people do is that, now, before I say what a lot of people do, if the only reason, listen to me carefully, I'm going to give it to you direct. If the only thing your father has to say, that this man is from this area, and this woman is from this area, but you have learned and have become convinced, please, I hope you have heard what I'm saying, that, listen, if any man or woman be in Christ, the person is a new creature, all things are passed away, I am sorry, you can never agree with your father. It's not allowed. What it will beget for you is persecution. What will result from it is persecution. They will say to you, in this village, nobody marries from that village. You say, that was then. This is now. If any man is in Christ, let me say something to you. That is where your witness of Christianity begins. Pastor Patrick, what do you expect me to do? I don't know. I'm not even giving you an answer. Now, sometimes people write me, please, I want your advice. Somebody wrote us the other day, said, please, before you refer us to your messages, we want your advice. Listen, think about it for a moment. Unfortunately, I don't have time, really. It's a basic rule. Like, I don't directly respond to each mail. All right. The reason is that I can't counsel people who are far. Unless if you come to the office and we can talk, I can ask you questions, I'll pray with you, and I'll talk with you, all right? But you send a mail, no matter how serious the matter is, I just can't directly respond, all right? I will get to read the mail, but the response you are going to get is just our general response. We'll pray for you, definitely we will. But the person said that I should give, before I refer to messages. Sorry, my messages, they are my advice. Anything that you hear me preach, I believe it. If I was talking to only you, that's exactly what I would say also. All right? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, what would somebody in that situation do directly? I don't know. But one thing I'm sure of is what you will not do. You will never. You are not allowed to budge. If that is the only argument. If they say, I don't like that guy, he doesn't agree with my soul, it's fine. I think you should listen to your father. I'm not saying you should listen to you and just say, okay. It can be a word of God. Are you getting my point? Maybe God is seeing something you are not seeing. That lady, the way they do like this, it disturbs something in my spirit. Go and pray. Maybe. But if he says that it is because of where she's from, it is not God. What did I say? What did I say? It cannot be God. It's not possible for you to be God. Because you are dealing with believers here. You're not dealing with unbelievers. Among some believers, the dichotomy is there. Is that the dichotomy? The polycotomy. You can break them to 1,000 units. These are the descendants of Esau. These are the descendants of Jacob. Amongst them, they are descendants of subdivisions. It's good. But in Christianity, there is nothing like that. If they bring you only one argument, where is it from? You want to marry a woman from this area. You don't know how they are, and the whole family disagrees. In fact, to me, if you're a man, your problem is even easier. Let them all disagree. I like when I told one of my aunties once. He said, you want to marry? I said, yes. Where is she from? She's from Delta State. I don't agree. I said, auntie, you should learn to distinguish between when your opinion is being asked and when they are giving you information. My wife used to think that I was a very crazy person. It was my auntie. I'm like, what's your problem? And not even my father. And not even my mother. I said, auntie, she came with my mother that day to Lagos. So I brought this, my wife of today, brought her pictures and all of that. She was looking, she looked. Where is she from? Delta. Said, no, that one, no, we are not agreeing. No. We will not agree. You will not agree. I said, auntie, you must understand when I'm asking your opinion. When I'm giving you information, this one is information. Now, really. Now, why did I say that? You know, Paul said something here. He said, you followed my teaching. The teachings resulted in persecutions. That's how I live my life, out of the things I have learned. That resulted in persecution. And listen, he said, you notice something, that God delivered me from them all. Let me tell you something. From every one of your persecutions that arise as a result of the word of God, you'll be delivered.
Amen.
From every single one of those persecutions that arise as a result of that difference in teachings, where you are not in agreement with everybody, but it's not because you are contentious, but simply because you have learned the word and you have become convinced of them. From all those persecutions, God will deliver you. He said to Timothy simply, he said, despite this persecution that I'm talking about, you continue in the things you have learned. Listen, before anybody changes your mind, let them convince you otherwise first. Did you hear what I said? There is nothing like this how I feel. I just don't like it. It doesn't agree with my spirit. Your spirit and my spirit are two different spirits. And I'm going to be the Lord of my house. Not your spirit will not be the Lord of my house. So give me arguments to overturn the things. Not because I want to doubt what I know, but there's always room to learn. So do you have superior knowledge? Do you have superior understanding to give me that I may abide by it? If you don't have, I'm sorry. I will be stubborn. Some people tell me, you're just being stubborn. I say, what do you mean being stubborn? You have not presented any argument. A stubborn man, a stubborn woman in reality, is a person who you have presented sound, obvious arguments that contradicts what he or she is holding on to, yet refuses to change his or her mind. That's an obstinate person. That's a stubborn person. That is somebody that will soon be destroyed. But it is not nice for you to be tossed to and fro by every wind of somebody disagrees with me. You are my witnesses here. There are many things I teach that is not popular in Christianity. I say one thing to you. I have never seen one person. No, I'm not trying to be, you know, difficult. I've not seen one person that took a scripture and went to at those things I've said and just broke them down from the word and said, no, you misunderstood this. There's one scripture you overlooked. Let's tie this on to it. No, all I ever hear is that this is not church tradition. The church can, everybody cannot be wrong and you're the only one that's right. That's kind of stupid argument I hear. Are you trying to tell me this person is wrong? Are you trying to tell me this person? Is that how adults are supposed to discuss? Are you trying to tell me that this man does not know what they're saying? Are you telling me now that the other person is wrong? Are you telling me that with all the results this man has, are you telling me, when I hear something, when I wrote my book, Grace to Prosper, in that last segment, because I knew the matter is such a contentious matter in Christianity. I wrote that chapter 3 times. What we finally found is the third chapter, the third writing. I believe it was the Holy Spirit finally gave me wisdom. I did it too in a question and answer way. I ask a question, I present my answer. I bring up another question, I present another answer. The only people that disagree with me, they want, no, our church says like this, this man of God says this, this man of God says this. If the man of God says something, all right, in fact, the other day I was in the office, a colleague of mine, there's something we have always, because of the job we do, you know, we are physicians, we are pathologists, there's a way we do our work. We look at things, all right, they make slides of diseased tissues and we're supposed to make diagnosis. So sometimes somebody will say it is A, another person will say it is B. So there's an argument we have always had, this guy and me. He now read it up in the book a few days ago, reading out to me. I said, this is what we have always said. They said that, listen, no matter how you feel about a diagnosis, if you cannot marshal out point by point how you came to that diagnosis, you are wrong. That is, you look at it and you feel like, I think this is kind of disease. And your colleague says, you think so? Explain to me how. You should be able to sit on maybe a microscope that has two heads. Look at this. Look at this, write it down. Look at this, tie it together, open a few references and say, this is how I came to that conclusion. Said, if you can't, then most likely you are wrong. And the same thing when it comes to the word of God. Our reference is the Bible. Our reference is these scriptures. If you think you are right, bring it out. Nobody knows everything. Sit down with people and throw scriptures up. And not in an argumentative manner now, but in an attitude that you want to learn. Unless somebody does that to you, please, don't throw away that which you know already. Do you get the point I'm making? Don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. Paul said to Timothy, the things you have learned, no matter, now listen to this, the things you know, they bring persecution. That's the point I'm making. You are going to get to a place, everybody will be on one side, you'll be on the other side. My wife told a story once, one man was preaching. He said anytime he's traveling on the road and his car has a problem, he will stop the car and say, who did not tie it in this car? Was that the way it happened? Who did not tie it in this car? That one day was driving to Abuja, he's Abuja from somewhere, and their tire went down. He stopped the car and said, who did not tie it in this car? He found out there was a driver. He sacked him on the spot. To that driver, that's persecution. The man said the only reason his car can have a problem is not whether he has adulterous thoughts in his mind. No. If his driver is an adulterer, it doesn't matter. Once he tithes. Because if I were the one, I'd say, who is the adulterer in this car? Who is the government thief here? Who inflated the contract? They are the ones that will spoil car for me. That's what, now you won't spoil my car. You go enter your own car to spoil by yourself. The Lord is good. That's just side gist to make you laugh. All right? Now, there are things that we bring real persecutions like that. friend of mine called me the other day. In their church, they told her that she needed to lead prayer in a particular way. Some of the things that I don't believe in, she does not believe in. That they said that after you pray for a while, a time comes in which you now start groaning. Whether something is paining you or not, doesn't matter. After you prayed in understanding, you prayed other tongues, then you pray in groaning. That's why I say groan. So now say, when you get to the point, everybody say, they will groan. Now there was not a problem. She had a difference of opinion, not a big deal. Everybody, she just, when anybody's groaning, she'd be praying her own. And I said, now you are going to lead prayer, and you shall lead groaning. I said, wait. This handshake is going beyond the elbow. That's why she called me and said, what should I do? I said simply, anything you don't believe in, you can't do. In fact, you'll be in trouble with God faster. So you find out, all right, that when you have learned something, especially when it is different from what everybody believes around, it will lead to persecution. And you'll be amazed at the kind of persecution I'm talking about. You are going to be at home one day. They're going to wake everybody up. At 2 a.m., time to start modulating the activities of the evil spirits. Everybody wake up, begin to pray. And you're like, what? So when I was praying about it, I said, evil spirits are moving. Time to check them. He said, as far as I know, 2 a.m. is time to sleep. I am going to sleep. They are going to start saying, you are a manifestation of evil presence in that house. You are not going to, because of that, wake up at 2 a.m. now and start saying, oh yeah, all you evil spirits, stop. You won't do that. If you must stand, if it's a place where you're a young person, everybody, you can't sleep without adults, they have power over you. Okay, you wake up. Father, I thank you. You are good. You are great. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Say after me, all you evil spirits. They are not going to repeat that one. Then you will see what they call persecution. I have seen young people suffer because their father said, this is the way to pray. I said, I'm sorry. I can't pray like that. I won't pay your fees. I'm still not going to pray like that. Are you being stubborn? No. These are things I have learned and have become convinced of. These are things I have learned. Listen, persecution is in Christianity. It's available. Did you hear what I said? Persecution is what? Available. Persecution is available. The reason why you would not ever have any trouble is because you always change your direction when people disagree with you. You have nothing, you have learned, and you are convinced of. If there are things you have learned and you are convinced of, they will fire you one day. Yeah, no, you will lose a job one day. Sometimes your boss is a Christian. He does not just understand your kind of Christianity. He just doesn't understand it. And not because you are evil. It's just because when they said everybody contribute money for deliverance, you said no. My money will not go there because I've been delivered in Christ Jesus. I have money for offerings. I have money to give to the poor. I have money to do many things, but it does not include money for contribution for deliverance. I don't need it. And there, of course, you know such evil prophets who I have already cursed in the name of the Lord. You know now. They will find out you are one of the problems in that company. I hope you know that. Get ready for it. Once you don't put that money down for deliverance, you are they will come and say, sir, as we were praying, we began to see that there was one person, that the number of people in this office that did not agree for this deliverance. Your guy said, yes, that day. Felix was refusing to bring out his money. That's it. You have to cast out the bondwoman and her son. You'll start convulsing. Don't be worried. What did I say? Don't be worried. They sack you, leave the job with gladness of heart. You will suffer seriously if you, because of that, start contributing money for deliverance. Because you have departed from the things that you learned and were convinced of. I said to you, persecution is available. It is what?
Available.
It is what?
Available.
It is what?
Available.
If you are wondering, why have I not been persecuted? In fact, you will soon be persecuted. You are waiting to be beheaded. Nobody is going to behead you. It takes a long time before beheading starts. I wrote an article. Did I finish writing it? I started, I'm not sure I finished it. Titled The New Face of Persecution. You go to the United States now. There's a new phase of persecution. If you are a caterer and you refuse to do catering for a gay marriage, they sue you. Yes, it's not a joke. One man, I don't know, I didn't see the outcome of the court case. Usually such things, if the man wins the case, you will never hear about it. He's a florist. Decorate events, flowers. All right? So one guy ordered once flowers for a marriage of Adam and Steve. And he said to himself and to them, "For this cause he that made them male and female." He said, "I'm sorry, I do not recognize gay marriages, and therefore it is against my religious beliefs to send flowers to a gay marriage." I read about it because he was in court. He was being sued for discrimination. I like ACLJ. They have this group called ACLJ, led by one guy, Sekulo. They will be there. They are Christians. They will support him seriously. That's persecution. And it's not a joke. If they win that case, it could be wiped out in business. And his own argument is that, number one, it's against my religious beliefs. Number two, they have alternatives. So this is persecution targeted at me as a Christian for this case to even come up. Because if it was just about you need something, you can't get it, doesn't fly. Because there are many other florists in New Jersey. So I call it a new face of persecution. It's all over the place in those countries. There are pastors that can't read certain scriptures. It's Bible, Romans chapter 1. They can't read it. Because it's called gay bashing. Because you say that you call homosexuality abomination. It's Bible. So that's why my persecution. So this is not a joke. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. They made it illegal in California to counsel a young man who says he's homosexual that you don't have to be. The churches gathered and dragged that one to court again, said that lie. We don't agree. That if a young boy of 15 says I'm gay, then you're not allowed to give him counsel. That you are warping his mind. You should affirm his homosexuality. Say, yes, God made you gay. What's the name of that? Charles Darwin made you gay. You were born gay. But of course, churches don't do that. So they have to cut around the law a bit to exclude churches. But they were targeted at Christians because they used to do deliverance and prayer. Are you getting my point? Yes, they used to counsel people against this work of darkness. But they now began to persecute them. So that's what I'm going to say. Persecution is available. Plenty. All over the place. But what's my message? In the midst of everything, Paul was warning Timothy. He said, in the midst of everything, what you have learned and have become convinced of, even though it brings you persecution, continue in that thing. It loses you a job, please continue in it. It gets you fired, continue in it. Your father said he will never consent to that marriage, continue in it. Because you see, and let me tell you something, as Christians, one of the ways to help yourself in life, let your stand be known early. What did I say?
Let your stand be known early.
Let it be known early. You are not planning to marry now. You have not proposed to any woman. In fact, you can't even pronounce the word propose yet. When you get home, they are in the village. They are talking. It's Christmas time. Everybody says, don't mind us from that village. No, we will never agree for any of our sons to go there. You say, excuse me. I don't know anybody there. But I just want people to know ahead of time. If the person is a Christian, we can go there. We Christians, they're crazy. Say, what do you mean? Say, listen, this is how it is. In Christianity, we are forbidden. Our God forbids us from dividing this person from that person based on tribal or village. He says, don't mind. What is wrong? Keep quiet. Then keep quiet. It's okay. You don't want to marry yet. Then one day, you are in your uncle's house. They are discussing. What's happening? It's your cousin that wants to marry. He said, don't mind them. He went to bring me a girl from this particular area. I am never going to accept that kind of marriage. Say, uncle, what's happening? He said, I'm happy, Uche, you have come. Talk to your sister for me. He says, talk to your brother. The boy, he says, wants to marry. The girl is from so-and-so place. He said, uncle, that's serious. But wait, uncle, are they Christians? Did they ever say they are born again? He said, yes. I heard him something like that. I said, uncle, I beg. Just forget that one. Just allow. You know I'm your favorite nephew. I have come to counsel you, allow them. Say why? Then bring that scripture again. Let them know. He said, in fact, uncle, you are not even happy from here. What if he had gone all the way to Meduguri? Uncle, but I rejoice. You know the way God does such things? Next time, now Meduguri, and you will go in the midst of Boko Haram for that wedding. What are you doing? You are letting them know your stance now. Let them know. This is how it is with us in Christianity. We don't discriminate. They hope that they let them give you a name first. So the day you now show up, and it happens that the Lord arranged it for you to be persecuted. In fact, you will have been delivered from that. They will just know that him. They will count all the instances in which you have opened out your mouth. You don't have to talk again. That is one way. Let them know early. I've told you. If you are somewhere, you are in class, everybody say, let's contribute money for so-and-so. So. Shout, say, if I contribute money for it, I will die and go to hell. So what do you mean? In our church, we were taught, say it loud. Let everybody know what you don't believe in. Don't be telling anybody it's not good. Are you getting my point? Yeah. There's somebody here, it's not good though. What is not good? Everything is good. Just as some of the good things send you to hellfire. You know what I'm saying? If you say it's not good, they will be arguing with you that it is good. Say it is good, though I agree with you, but there are some good things that will send me to hellfire. When you say it like that, most human beings will give you space. Are you joining us for this? What? Deliverance? Pastor Banky said, after the deliverance, my problems will double. Trust me, they will leave you alone. It's when you start hiding and dodging that your problems are worse. Let me sit on my message so I can conclude it, all right? We'll close on time. This is what I want to say. Truth that you know. Actually, no, what I wanted to start with, all right, is let me just quickly drop that one in now, all right? Now, I reasoned before that people know truth. People come to Bible study like this. They go to churches on Sundays. They buy books. They listen to tapes. They download messages. But which one really is the one that is setting them free? That's what I wanted to explain at the beginning. But I've gotten to it now, and I think I'll be able to sit down in the next few minutes, and then we'll close. Which one is really setting them free in all of these things? It's simple. It's only the one that affects their decisions. You hear what I said? You can have many things in your ears. Fill your ears, fill your head. Has it entered into your spirit? Is it setting you free or is not setting you free? It's simple. How has it affected your decision-making process? If it hasn't, it's not working in you yet. Because truth will always be tested. It will always be tested. It will always be tested. Before the days of the test, be hearing it. Abraham, God will speak to him, hear it. Your wife will beget a child. She finally begat the child. Then one day, all the truths you've heard in the last 40 years is tested. Go and sacrifice Isaac. Listen, it is good to hear the word of God. Without the training in righteousness, you will fail the test. But that word has not entered you in real power until it starts affecting how you make decisions. Are you getting my point? Listen. If you make a decision that contradicts everything you have learned, it's as good as if you never learned them. As I'm speaking, you may be remembering some things. What you do is that you go back to that point in your mind. You go and pray, ask God for forgiveness, and start again. He will send another test too. Usually more difficult than that first one that you failed. Because that first one you failed has become part of the training. So you should be ready for a heavier one. I thought about it. That's the problem in Christianity today. I mean, the other day, I think it was Inka that was telling me the story of a man did a job, a government contract. Assuming he made ₦1 million from that job, the person who signed the contract papers collected $750,000. Is that news? What is news is that he was a deeper life woman. Are you getting what I'm saying? With scarf tied, this world is not my home scarf. No jewelry, nothing. Long skirt reaching to the floor. The blouse reaching high. Actually, you see the skin of my neck reaching high like this. Collected the money. As I keep on telling you, at least this church going na social activity. I'm telling you, the woman that is, you sit under W.F. Kumuyi, you are still collecting bribe. You will go to hell, though. That woman will really go to hell. Well, I don't know, but you know what I'm trying to say? With all the threats of hell, in fact, you are not a Christian. You're supposed to fear. How can you go to a deeper life? I mean, if you're going to some of these, church, I will understand. You go to a deeper life. You see, collect bribe. That means that word never entered. It never did. That's what I'm trying to explain. The word that's actually setting us free is the one that's affecting the decisions we are making. Because there's something that Paul said. Listen to this. Back to that 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, you know of my persecutions. From verse 11. My persecution and sufferings, it happened in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. He said, I endured the persecutions. And out of them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to adhere to the word of God, I'm modifying it now, to stick their lives with the things they have learned and have become convinced of. All those who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He now said that, verse 14, you, however, continue in those things. And verse 15, you know that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures or sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What is that wisdom that leads to salvation? Paul said that I was delivered from all my persecutions. The word deliverance is the same word salvation. Are you getting my point? What was he saying? God will give you a wisdom that will deliver you from your persecutions. God will give you a wisdom. You were sacked the first job because you did not contribute money for deliverance. No problem. The next one, they said, adjust the figures so that we'll pay less taxes. You refused. The next one, you went there and, they said, what's your problem, sir? He said, it is because those who desire to live righteously will suffer persecution. As long as you can narrate what happened with a clean heart, open, nothing hiding to people of faith, and they can see the point. My boss said, I should sign that we collected $2 million. Those will give us only $1 million. I'm not signing. So he fired me. That's good firing. Paul said, in the midst of this firing, God will soon give you an idea. You become a boss yourself, and nobody can fire you. Are you seeing my point? That is, when that word first leads you to persecution, the next thing it does is to give you a wisdom that produces salvation. Listen, it is how you react in the time of testing that decides whether that word is really setting you free or it is not setting you free. Listen, if everybody tells you, in our village they don't marry from this area, and you join them, let me just give you a quick warning. As Christians, life can hard. One will disobey God. What did I say? Life can be hard if we walk in disobedience. What will happen to you is that, listen, I don't mean to sound like I'm wicked, but okay, that's why I'll qualify it. Unless you repent. Amen? Yeah. Everybody says, in our village, we don't marry from that area. And then for that reason, you also deep inside your heart, because what people are thinking is different from what they are saying a lot of times. When they are at church, it's amen, amen, amen. Oh, when they say, oh, that sister is so nice. She's a good lady. Where is she from? That, oh, they'll shake her hands very well. Give her a big hug. If she needs money, they help her out. Even give her a lift home. They have a car. But married, when they go home, that one I no go area. You will never guess when you see on the surface. Because he's so nice to her. She wants to, in fact, he's working at Transekulu. She's in independence layout. Then she calls and says, ah, Brother John, how now? I'm fine, please, do. I have to get to church and it's raining. Oh, no problem. He will come from Transekulu, drive all the way to independence layout, carry her to the church in Abakwa. And then go back to work. You will think that this guy is redeemed. But when he's talking, he said, bros, church is a different matter. When we reach home, the truth is that that one are no good area. Yeah, people behave like that. That's why the Bible says, he says to you, eat, drink, but his heart is not with you. As a man thinks in his heart, that is what really he is like. So is he. Such a man, you know what happened? What will happen is that with all the 700 million women in China, he won't find one wife there. He will go to India that has half a billion women, there will be no wife. Come to Nigeria, 70 million women, none. You know why? Because God will just close all the doors. It's called disobedience. What did I call it? Or finally he gets one from the area where their people love the most. And to be a Jezebel that just came to church to worship. With her hands and with her face, her heart is in a coven. When he gets home, there's one brother, I heard the story. This man said all his life was a good man until he entered the church there and married a girl there. I know what happened to him. He began to smoke and drink. For the kind of harassment of soul that girl gave to him. Finally, he impregnated a girl working in a bar. Did you hear what I said? That was how low his life went. I suspect that they told him, don't marry from this village, you go marry from the other village. God said, okay, no wahala. You want Jezebel? The Jezebel I'll give you will not use fake lashes. She won't use lipstick. You want to come, holy are you, Lord? Oh, Christ. Tell your neighbor, is the fruit of disobedience. Tell the person. Is the fruit of disobedience. Listen, truth must affect your decisions. That's the point I'm making. Even though it turns you, in fact, I feel so strong about it. Maybe if people came with this matter in their hearts today. Even though it turns you against the whole village, truth must affect your decisions. You will be in your family. You have a brother. You have brothers. You have sisters. You have parents. Total, 9 people. There will be 8 people against you. Just make sure it is because of that which you have learned and you have become convinced of. Listen, if you listen to them, it's another warning from God. If you listen to them, in 30 years' time, you will look back and regret it. Listen, listening to people who disagree with God gives you temporary relief. What did I say to you? Temporary relief. If you listen to people that disagree with God, you will get temporary relief. The time you will look back and regret it, my God. When the Bible says it is a difficult thing to fall into the hands of the living God, it was writing to Christians, so not to Muslims. None of the people who received that letter was in Boko Haram. They were all Christians. And he said to them, it is a difficult thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He said, for the Lord our God is a consuming fire. God is merciful, believe me. He is merciful. But one thing he can't stand is direct disobedience to his instructions. Don't forget where we began from the things we have heard and what have become convinced of. If there are things we're in doubt about, God no understands. But when the family of 9, 8 people in it stand against only you, but you are with the things you had learned and have become convinced of. Please, please, don't go for temporary relief because you want to please people. It does not work. It only begets for you more hardship later in life. That's what it begets. That's what it begets. Remember, your life is planned. Amen. Listen to me. If you stand your ground with the word of God, there will be persecution for a while. Guaranteed. That marriage may be delayed for up to 3 years. Trust me. It can happen. But this interesting part, that is the only way you will win unbelievers. A time will come, everybody that is agreeing with you now, they will gather with you and worship God. That you are the only one that showed them light. You are the only one that taught them truth. What will happen eventually is that you will enjoy the deliverance of God. And you'll be established in righteousness all your life. Listen, there are reasons why God blesses people. We'll be talking about the work of Christ. And that's the basic reason. Then he throws that word into you. Is it going to work in your life or it will not work? It depends on how you allow that word walk into your heart so that it works out and begins to affect what you do, what you don't do, where you go, where you don't go, what you, how you talk, how you don't talk, who you relate with, how you don't, how you, who you don't relate with, how you relate with people, how you make your decisions. That's what brings that work of Christ outwardly in your life. I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you've gotten my point. What I said there, I hope it's clear. If it's clear, say amen.
Amen.
I hope I didn't scare anybody. I was sent by God to come and help you. And I trust that this word has helped you today. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks.